Okay. In answer to the long lost question, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. So that's the good news. As I said yesterday, my plan this morning is to spend a brief amount of time on the attorney fees question. This isn't something that makes a big appearance on the exam. It's really not easy to test on this particular point. But it's significant because, first of all, if we're doing an inventory of the kinds of damages that a plaintiff suffers or the kinds of things a plaintiff would logically ask for by way of compensation, it makes sense that the plaintiff would say, I want to be compensated for the hassle, the expense of being compensated. And to the extent that it's widely recognized that plaintiffs commonly pay a third of their recovery to their lawyer, sometimes more than a third. And to the extent that we're trying to adjust the amount of compensation so that a plaintiff is not being given some sort of windfall, that is, at least in the compensatory mode, a windfall may be appropriate for purposes of punitive damages. But if we're trying to provide compensation, should we not include the cost of the attorney's fee? And if you look at other kinds of arrangements, you sign a contract to buy a house or you sign a contract to borrow money, you will frequently agree that in the event of dispute over the enforcement of that agreement, you will pay an attorney's fee to the prevailing party. Why should that rule not apply to personal injury cases? Indeed, as has been said, I think, in the article we have here, when we refer to the arrangement we have in this country, we call it the American rule because virtually nowhere else in the world do you have this, to mix our nationality metaphor here, Dutch treat. In most other legal systems in the world, the prevailing party recovers an attorney's fee along with the whatever relief the prevailing party is entitled to. Why not in America? The answer about why we have the system we have is partly historical. It's the way we learned how to do it. There is something American about this system, something about the notion that the legal system is not the province of an elite set of folks in powdered wigs. It's a place where ordinary people can have their cases heard and then decided by ordinary folks like themselves. Now, that may be an anachronism now that while we occasionally have people appearing pro se, sometimes criminal defendants want to represent themselves. For the most part, we view that as the kind of thing that crazy people do. So, again, the question could be raised, why not adapt our system or conform it to the practice elsewhere in the civilized world? In fact, it's been one of the items in the... it was one of the items in the 1994 contract with America, the report. heading of legal reform, a so-called loser pays rule. Again, that's the phenomenon or the practice in the rest of the world. The loser in litigation pays the prevailing party. Now, the comparison is not entirely fair because in most other countries, the legal system operates in a very different way. There really is this kind of professional elite. I have a brother who lives in Japan. He's lived there most of his adult life. Teaches at a Japanese university. Thoroughly enmeshed in Japanese culture. And so we often compare, Japan being a very civilized country like our own, but Japan has a tiny number of lawyers compared to the United States. It's a very elite profession. Very few people are admitted. Litigation is very rare. Again, very different from picking up the Yellow Pages, and the middle third of the Yellow Pages are ads for, you know, bankruptcy, divorce, personal injury. Good thing, bad thing. Again, it's sort of a debate about whether we have a plague of lawyers or whether the fact that lawyers are abundant and opportunities to litigate your claim are virtually unlimited, that makes our society more open, more accessible, less stratified, hierarchical. You don't have to wait in line to get your share of the gruel for the day. You can seek your fortune directly. But again, if you're looking at the sort of ecology, as it were, of the legal system, particularly the personal injury system, the fact is that it costs a lot of money. Defendants are grumpy about it because they get sued, and if they prevail, they get no compensation for the vast expense of defending themselves. They often feel it's sort of an extortion racket. Underemployed lawyers come after them filing cases of dubious merit, but if you have nothing better to do and you would otherwise sit in your office idle, you might as well rattle some cages and see if that will generate some income. And defendants think, this is not fair. If I win, the plaintiff's lawyer says, well, I learned a lot from that. Next case, maybe I'll have better luck. Meanwhile, the defendant pays dearly for defense. Now, again, if you're not entirely comfortable with the way the system works, the question arises, what do you then do? What would a loser pays rule look like in a tort case? Well, for those plaintiffs who succeed, the plaintiff would be entitled to a recovery of an attorney's fee, reasonable fees from the defendant. It might lower the amount charged in a contingency fee. It might not. The bargaining between the plaintiff's lawyer and the plaintiff is not necessarily governed by